Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
They said they don't need the money, and I respect that. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 18th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
And I respect the jazz hands. You've got to respect that.
Jazz hands and then a quick finger point at the end and it's showtime, baby.
Who are you pointing to?
The Lord. I don't
know.
It's up, mate. Okay. Yeah, he hangs around behind doorways for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I reckon because Pete's on the same plane as the Lord and Saviour, I mean, yeah. he would be to
yes.
his left or right, wouldn't he?
God sits to my right and left, like as they said in the Bible.
Good to start
with. Long forgotten Catholic church school studies.
Welcome along to our Christian listeners this fine, fine morning. And how are you doing, Vish?
I'm good. I'm good. On second thoughts, probably it's a good thing that he didn't point down.
Wouldn't be, people wouldn't be surprised. Let's make that very clear. If I was a Satanist.
Or a saint.
Or a saint.
I thought that's correct. What you were going for. You're just floating up there like a cherub.
I'm everywhere, like a gas.
We've swapped seats and I'm worried because I just saw Pete's fingers moving across the deck.
What?
To something that I know he's been.
You just got caned. Kate Mason.
You just got caned.
You just got caned.
If you love something, let it go. I've always said that.
Like a big faced balloon.
When I had my first pet was a rabbit and we had to give them up because my brother bit one of them. I loved
Whoa,
it.
Whoa, steady.
Thank you for changing the top story, mate. What?
I'm just saying, if you're going to keep biting Harry Kane, he's going to leave.
Sorry, your brother?
Yeah, so we both...
Is he fine?
My brother's fine, yeah. God.
He's got maximistosis, I guess. But
So we had... Growing up, we always wanted pets, and my parents decided that rabbits, we'd get a rabbit each. And I looked after my rabbit. My brother didn't look after his rabbit. He picked up his rabbit to kind of squeeze it as a cuddly toy.
Right.
And the rabbit bit him on the arm. So he bit the rabbit on the back. And it kind of leapt out and me and my dad had to chase it down the street. Right. We got it back.
Come back. What was the name of the rabbit? What was the name of your brother's rabbit?
We had a really shit name.
What's in his name?
What could be
Peter
worse?
And Benjamin.
Peter and Benjamin. Yeah. How very Beatrix Potter. That's beautiful.
Exactly, yeah.
Very nice.
What a nice idyll it sounds like you lived in, apart from that your brother was a sociopath.
Ozzy Osbourne of wherever you lived.
Yeah. He didn't bite his head off.
He had a good go at his back.
Did he take a chunk?
No, but there was a little mark.
You know how the thing
what
about rabbits.
What a horrific start to this show.
The thing about rabbits as well is that they're obviously very nervous creatures,
and they
the
never forget, like an elephant.
They possibly, very closely related to elephants. You're absolutely right, and the thing is, you're supposed to engage in bunny-led touching. That's the only kind of touching you're supposed to do on rabbits. So if they
so
come to
right
do
now.
Not type that into the
if you're not supposed to approach a rabbit, you're supposed to let it like decide that it wants to be mates with you.
Right, okay.
So even if the rabbit
rabbit would have been traumatized even if your brother hadn't bitten him.
So even if you were in a house where you'd grown up with the rabbit and the rabbit had say 3 years left on its contract and it wanted to leave, how would you broach that then?
Yeah.
I would broach it by trying to talk about the championship. First leg, semi-finals. No, the news is... it's news. Harry Kane has re-upped his demands. His demands? No, that's not the word I want to use in the context of Harry Kane, who's been an extraordinary servant to Tottenham. He has supposedly said that he wants to leave.
He has concerns about the management of the club and he wants to win things.
I think any... buddy who was being reasonable and realistic and all those things that sometimes football fans aren't would say that he must be looking at former colleagues of his, the likes of which include Kieran Trippier, who's probably just about to win the league with Atletico, Christian Eriksen, who wasn't really a success at Inter but has now won the league and played in that massive long winning streak that led them to the title. And I think he's probably thought, well, you know,
I'll have a bit of that, please.
I'm in the form of my career and I'm just getting better. So why, what's here for me now, really?
I mean, you sort of assume, but I mean, obviously all of those players went abroad for this. You imagine that due to the fact that most European sides are Andy Brassic, they aren't really in a situation to buy him. So he'll probably will stay in the Premier League, which will be rather uncomfortable. Get your little photographer's chairs ready. Throw him at Harry Kane as he celebrates in front of you as an Arsenal player.
I mean, let's be realistic, shall we? I don't really feel as though Arsenal have got what
Look,
Harry
it's either
Kane
Arsenal
needs.
Or a Jesse Lingard kind of leverage tool for Man United.
Well,
it's
but let's be reasonable. Let's be reasonable about this and not lose our shit just because Harry Kane is going somewhere.
Imagine if we did that.
Yeah.
Quite reasonably. He's got to think about where he does go, hasn't he? I mean, because in these like wicked whispers, fan fiction, whatever, about what's going on, he supposedly he's talked about Spain.
Right, okay.
But I mean, you have to be careful going to Barcelona at the moment, for example.
Because on the red list. The way you said that was a bit like,
well. Well, if you're concerned about the way that clubs are run. And okay, so in this country, Manchester City is seems a bit easy, doesn't it?
What about, I mean,
if you're Harry Kane, it's a bit easy to just go to Man City.
Well, they don't like strikers up there, do they?
Yeah, he has to really fight his way into the team. Yeah.
I mean, in terms of clubs, you know, there was obviously a lot of discussion when this broke yesterday. Chelsea's the best fit, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
he should go to Chelsea. Yeah.
And I suppose, like, if we look at how these things generally play out, when people of Harry Kane's stature want to leave. Any club, really. It doesn't necessarily matter if they're challenging or not. It takes ages, doesn't it? I definitely foresee a situation where he plays for Spurs all of next season and then leaves the season off, you know, leaves in that summer.
Move in September. You can't play in August anyway, Kane. Sign him in September.
Because, you know, obviously the finances of the game are in such disarray at the moment. And also, you know, he wants to play in Spain, but as you and Pete alluded to, there's a reason they're still pushing on with the European Super League. It's because they don't have any money.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Real Madrid are a bit of an outlier in that they could just suddenly summon that cash from nowhere. You know, they're still linked with Mbappe and Erling Haaland. And I know a lot of people are saying that, people would rather go for Erling Haaland than Harry Kane, but only one team can get him.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, as a backup, you're not going to get, you know, better than Kane.
Well, it's telling that 350,000 a week there, that Spurs actually balked at that price for Erling Haaland. So it's quite good that they're sort of shipping someone out and sort of going, well, who do we sign? Well, we can't sign that player. We can't sign that player because that would destroy our kind of... Are the wagers still in place? They seem to be. They feel like they are, even though they're not.
Yeah, my God. I think you're absolutely right about this question of getting a younger player because he's 28 in July, Harry Kane. My impression is, that he's getting better as a player and he's got, the third most goal involvements in Europe this season. And he's, let's face it, playing for a team that... Don't do it!
If you're not going to say anything, I'm going to press my button.
The emotions I feel are hard to put into words. I think we can just say that Harry Kane is a great player, and if he wants to move, he deserves to.
But also, you know, the young player is one thing, or a younger player is one thing, and you're right, you know, he's only got a few years left at his pomp, but, you know, not least with all the ankle injuries and stuff. But anyone who signs him is signing him for right now. Mm. They're not signing him because, oh, yeah, you know, he'd work into our system and then we could play this way. Yeah. Or they're not signing him as well. They're signing him because he's one of the best strikers in Europe.
Yeah.
Fundamentally. Mm. So they're going to play him no matter what. You know, obviously Manchester United are linked with him and he'd fit in very well over there.
In a depressed market, do you not think that Spurs could really do with a fair whack of cash?
But then
in their own depressed market as well.
Yeah, but then it's, I mean, that's the thing.
But we did that with Gareth Bale. And okay, we got Eriksen in the end, as in, of the seven players that were bought.
Right. Well, you made a lot of money on Eriksen anyway.
Yeah. but he turned into decent you know, servants for the club.
But
and Lamella is still there.
Yeah, yeah. But then also, if you look at the other players you signed in there, they did go on and do right elsewhere. You know, like Paulinho certainly at the time it didn't work out, but I suppose in hindsight you could see what they were kind of getting at, given, you know, the fact that he went and then played for Barcelona. Yeah. Etienne Capoue, there was obviously something there.
Yeah, it's almost as if they don't have very good managers frequently.
This was the other issue with the bail money. It was spent with Villas-Boas as a manager, and then he got sacked a few months later. Mm. And I suppose what's going to happen now with this money that will come in, whether it's this season or next season or at all, is that it really puts the onus on getting the new manager right.
Mm. Yes.
If you're going to have to bring in someone who is good with money, and, you know, at the very least, good with a system where you can recruit that way, where you can think, well, he's going to play that way. He'll want this kind of player, this kind of player, this kind of player. Yeah. Here are those options. Let's go out and get them.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's harder to do that until you actually get that Kane money guaranteed.
So it's a movable parts of this.
I mean, like, how do you think this plays out, though? Because as I've mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays next season. We've got Euros. There isn't much time to do any negotiating, really, beyond stuff behind the scenes. And then if he goes to the Euros and does well, does that affect his price? Or if he does badly, does that affect his price? If he gets injured, what happens there?
Mm. So it sounds like you're saying that you think it's a sort of long-term, you know, he's putting a marker down. He started talking about this a few weeks ago and saying about winning trophies. And then he's putting a marker down for in a year's time.
Well, I don't know. I just feel
it's all very well. Sorry, mate, not to be partisan about this, but like, if his aim is to certainly win trophies, I don't necessarily know that going to Manchester United is the best thing for him.
Yeah, nor do I. But
you know, City, probably.
But it's not about the best thing for him, it's about the better thing for him. And right now, there are too many options better than Spurs. Mm. Hence why he's come out and said what he said.
Yeah, it is. And if you're a player, I feel like it gets played down how good the England captain bloody is, because he plays for a team. You know, you can assist and create as many goals as you like, but if your team is going to probably finish seventh in the league, what does that even mean? It feels like this happens to Tottenham the whole fucking time, to be honest. This is
it does.
Do you know what I mean? The extraordinary players that we somehow manage to have and then still don't achieve anything. But, we did a really good Full Ramble Presents recording last night that will teaser, you know, will be out soon. And with a notable Arsenal fan. And yeah, he ended the evening by singing hilarious anti-Tottenham songs at me, so I'm really in a painful way this morning coming into this this Harry Kane news. But anyway, I'm trying to say he's a good player and he deserves to win things.
Can I throw something at you very quickly?
Yes, go on then.
And you can answer it as
photographer's chair. Adebayor.
Yeah.
Would you, if he signed for Chelsea? Yeah. And this is, you know, would he sign for Chelsea? Or if even it got to a stage where he mooted some kind of inaction on his part to get a move elsewhere, would you think of him any differently?
I would be so surprised. I just can't, the character that he's shown and the way that he's played this season, when he's already, presuming from what we understand, Wicked Whispers, you know, is already trying to think of a way out. It just doesn't seem to fit with his character that he would do that.
He would like down tools.
Maybe I'm just being incredibly naive, and I think I am, because to some extent, as we know, sitting here talking about things in the Ramble, you know, one of the reasons we like football is because we kind of create these like castles in our head about things that are, you know, there are pure and noble purveyors of the game, and we love them for this, and we watch them play football. We want to believe that that's what they're really like, and that's the essence of their soul and all this. And so, you know, maybe it's not true, but it just really seems like Harry Kane is this sort of decent guy who just has just liked playing for a club in London and has given it everything.
I wonder if like contracts ever sort of go both ways. Like there's a guarantee that that football teams remain in the Champions League, you know, play at a certain level. Yeah. Because as a player, you want to play at those kind of levels and enhance your own image, I suppose. So it does work both ways. Spurs have consistently kind of proven to underwhelm at a board and managerial level. I'd say they're climbing out of that a little bit. They've kind of raised their profile a little bit. They've got, you know, the great new stadium and stuff like that. And they are of a level that they wouldn't be considered. You know, they built a team around spending all that, getting all that money for Bale, didn't they, really? And they mismanaged it, fine, but they still put themselves in that particular bracket. They're not like mid-table kind of teams anymore, which they were for a lot of the
90s. Yeah, 20
years
ago. We were, you know, when Daniel Levy, because he's been there now 20 years. Like, yeah. Progress has been made.
If Levy left tomorrow, like, you can't say that Spurs aren't in a much better place right
vastly,
now.
Vastly better. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, the real mistake just seems to have been not working out how to build on the Pochettino era. I think that's just going to, that's crushing.
Pochettino couldn't do it. He tried to build his own era and that's why he left.
I think it's quite sad that if he does go this summer, he'll have played out the season he has, which was a pretty incredible season in front of no one.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's pretty shit. That's quite a sad way to go.
Don't leave, Harry.
Michael NFL.
Stop biting him.
maybe if he's going to have to be, relaxing and doing mindfulness to cope with the situation he's in, he can join Eric Dyer in the Spurs garden. Apparently he's very into growing vegetables, like we learned yesterday. Let's get to...
You grow any lettuce? There are the rabbits in the area?
Let's get to the Championship playoff semi-finals, guys.
Before we get there, actually...
No, stop doing this to me!
The point of that whole thing is like that they're sort of saying that Spurs is the most kind of like carbon neutral club. It's like, I'm sorry, you're not having that. You just built a new stadium. I'm not having that. You knocked down a stadium and then built a new one. You can't just draw a line. You're still working at a deficit. All those diggers, what are they running on? Goodwill.
We won a trophy about being the Premier League's greatest, greenest team.
Greatest, greenest team.
I don't know what Kane's thinking.
The greenest team.
Eric Dyer's making legumes.
Bournemouth beat Brentford. And that is the real story here, you fuckwits.
Certainly is for Brentford. They're very upset.
So 1-0 up after the first leg of the Championship playoff semi-final. We'll come on to the Barnsley game in a moment. One of you watched this one.
I watched this one. I know quite a few Brentford fans, and when the goal went in, they were like, not again.
Yeah.
How many times have they been in this situation? You know, Rico Henry was back in the squad, which is a huge boost. Big fan of that guy, and obviously he's been in since about like January, February, but obviously all the focus is on Tony. But I thought Cameron Carter-Vickers played very, very well.
Okay, another
Lorne from the big house, yeah. The big old Spursy house. But I thought he marshalled Tony quite well, really.
I was kind of underwhelmed by Tony.
His passing game.
Yeah,
oh yeah, his passing game. Yeah, after was really off.
Just not when I'm watching.
after his 31 goals, just not good enough.
I've sat down to watch this. Everyone's talking about you.
You think he's a bit overrated, G? You might be
trying to sign him in summer. So study on. No, but I thought it did kind of sum up that like it's just the playoffs, isn't it? You do all that brilliant work in the Championship. You get pipped to the first two spots by the two teams who just came down. You have a striker who's as good as he is, and you get to that game. And I know it wasn't necessarily. Mbeumo could have scored at the end, and then that could
my
have
God,
been
that was
one.
A
that was
fuck
a
up, wasn't
hell
it?
Of a chance. Yeah.
Listen, as a man who failed a driving test yesterday, I am very much Ivan Tony of this ramble. I'm feeling it. But he was quite
was it
quite
a major
poor
or a number of minors?
Couple of majors.
I thought they stopped you after your first major.
Did a few donuts. No, just not looking over my shoulder. Not looking
is
at
that
me
a
little.
Major?
I looked at my...
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
I was in an orphanage. I'd backed into an orphanage, knocked a wall down. I was just going...
I don't know if this
didn't look
is true
over my
not.
Shoulder.
But there is... No one's dead.
No one's dead. No, fine. I just not.
Do you think he'd still be here
if I'd killed an orphan?
That's amazing. You're not passing your test, but off you go.
But it was.
Sorry about your test.
That's all right. It's fine. I'll have another crack in October or whenever I can get a booking.
I made
two majors. Do you have to wait?
No, no.
Are they like, you're not rebooking.
It was like major, two minutes. I did like
a suspended sentence.
I didn't look. I looked at my mirror as I was putting myself in another lane, rather than just before, and also when I was doing my reverse two car lengths. I didn't look over my sixth point. I did my 5 point check. I didn't do my sixth.
That's a major.
It's a major, baby.
Things have changed.
I tried to make him feel better by telling him that I failed my driving test twice, and the second time I failed it was on my birthday.
I mean, that is. Oh. Yeah. I was depressed yesterday, but that really takes the biscuit, to be quite frank.
It's lucky one of us in here passed first time. Anyway, Brian Burmo, yes, he missed. It was shit. You were going to say something about it, weren't you?
I mean, look, Brentford, it was a lovely goal, to be a lovely counter-attacking move against Brentford, but it was all about them really cheaply giving away the ball down that right-hand side. It was just like, what are you doing? You're like a central defender just playing... chopsticks, whatever you call it. Is it chopsticks where you do like step overs and stuff? Whatever it is. Whatever it is, he was doing that on the touchline. I was like, why are you doing that? And then obviously they went up the other end and scored. Just, I hope they get it together for the second leg. I do like to see new teams performing well.
Yeah, in the Premier League.
It's not romantic to have Bournemouth back in the Premier League.
That's a great point. And obviously, so look, Bournemouth finished sixth on 77 points. And as you kind of referenced, Fish, Brentford had 87 points. So they're in third. But we're not the better side in this. Or I guess it could have been a 1-1, should have been a 1-1 if that had gone in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I caught up on the highlights and then read some of the analysis about it. And it was interesting that Jonathan Woodgate at the end of the game was saying how... Or like, we know they're a possession side and we're a counter-attacking side. So we were like, well, okay, why don't we just stick to that? And I wonder what it's going to do. I suppose it's only going to reinforce that come the second leg on Saturday, because Brentford just have to go at them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barnsley and the other one were beaten 1-0 by Swansea City. Andre Ayew with a lovely goal in that. Freddie Widman in the Swansea goal as well, making an incredible... A double save, Cam Britton with that attempt. The game to me didn't look like a 1-0. It was feverish.
It was genuinely incredible. The start of the second half, I think 5 minutes in, both goalkeepers had clattered opposition strikers outside of their box, and I was like, okay, this is incredible, because Barnsley is just relentless. I think producer Charlie before we started said that they play like someone's controlling them on FIFA. And is that absolutely like that, where you're just like, well, I've got
balls,
I'm just going straight, sprinting straight, goal or miss. And they, to be fair, they Woodman got, is Woodman one of yours, Pete?
Yes, yeah, yeah. X, yeah.
He looks like a child. He doesn't look tall enough to be a goalkeeper, but he was very good. He made an incredible double save at the start of the second half. But yeah, it was really nice. I don't know if you saw at the end. But the Swansea players were applauded off by the Barnsley fans, because the atmosphere was incredible, obviously, because they're back there. I think there was something like 4,000 there. But there was a real sense of everyone was really excited and there was no bitterness. Obviously, they have a second leg and it is only 1-0.
Yeah.
But the Barnsley players as well at the end went around and applauded everyone. And it was like a proper like wholesome and at the same time, really competitive game of football.
Yeah, Oakwell last hosted a game 436 days ago when Barnsley were bottom of the championship. How things, some things have got better over the course of the lockdown.
Freddie Woodman's 6'2". I count that as tall.
I mean, that is tall.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is tall.
From
isn't
a
it?
5'7", yeah. That's
fish. I'd be quite a precarious position to be making these claims.
But he looks quite childy.
Well, I just like the fact that he's like been on. Like he's been under contract at Newcastle since he signed from Palace in 2013, and he's played at Poole's, Hartlepool, Crawley Town, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, Swansea. He's just climbing up the kind of tiers, like on loan. He's put 88 times for Swansea on loan. It's just ridiculous how many goalkeepers Newcastle have got had. In
and they're always good.
Yeah,
yeah, they
always
are
decent.
Good, yeah.
Always decent. Never had a keeper crisis. That's the only crisis they will not indulge in. They will not have a keeper crisis.
Yeah. Barnsley, also, you mentioned the thing about them looking like they're playing on FIFA. Maybe that features in the way that they work, because they were they're the ones who were taken over by that consortium that featured the Billy Bean, you know, the Moneyball guy.
Oh, there we go.
So, and apparently their wage bill is tiny.
How are they? How is it tiny? Like, how? Surely they have to run it at some kind of premium.
Well, the whole Moneyball theme theory is all about using data in order to predict how, you know, the people are being undervalued by the market.
Right.
It's,
okay.
It's a romantic way of.
It is romantic. It's more romantic than Kane to Chelsea. I'll give you that.
You're so right.
Like Billy Bean and Moneyball, yeah. But have you? You've never played FIFA, have you?
Why?
I wouldn't say that was, you know, built on, you know, discovering the small margins and uncovering value. It's just
asking your dad for the credit card to buy coins.
Yes,
I guess the link I was going on was probably more like a Champ Manager thing. What I was doing there was conflating a football game that I do know and have played with a football game I haven't played.
Okay.
I do that with highbrow cultural references all the time, so I suppose this is your version of that.
As Monet was saying to me last week.
Kant's good, isn't he? Harry Kant. You've been Kant, play this.
Yes. Oh, I've lost it now.
Oh, what an absolute shame.
You just got Kant. Tid.
What an absolute shame. What a shame. Barnsley only just survived relegation last season, thanks mainly to Wigan's points deduction. So this is all building up to the Championship Player Final, the richest game in football, on the 29th of May, and the second legs are at this weekend. All right, time for a break. Don't press that button. I've got a button to press now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
If you're wondering how Ashwood City Football Club dealt with the news of the European Super League, then binge the award-winning mockumentary The Offensive this summer.
I think a few of the players are considering taking to social media.
No, fucking no. Okay, turn off the fucking Wi-Fi for all I care. Tear down the 4G mast.
Patrick, you've got a Zoom call with the other 14 right now.
The 14? What?
The remaining Premier League clubs.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I don't want to talk to those fucking losers.
Or if you'd rather get stuck into a comedy film podcast, why not check out Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two films with something in common go head-to-head to decide which one is better. Their latest episode saw Red Heat up against Tango and Cash.
In both films, I think someone says, where did you learn to drive like that? Which no one ever says in real life. Oh, I had lessons. But a nice callback.
And your nan, has your nan asked that earlier? How many times did you take to pass? You passed first time, what about your written test?
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Hold on, please, Gary.
Sorry for the heavy breathing.
Where's that from? Hold on, please, Gary.
I don't know, really. Is it when he was, when Rio Ferdinand was trying to defend Mike Ashley on the telly, I think?
Ooh,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It's his he's done it's his money.
He's got some kind of deal with Sports Direct.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, they stock five, don't they?
Mm.
It's good to stick up for your mates. All right, now it's time for these. Ooh.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. And we might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
I just love the scansion of that. Like, the tit is not required in the...
No. Yeah. And I quite like his accent reminds me of that politician who was talking about gay equality and gay marriage and then sashays briefly into a man being eaten by an alligator. Have you heard him? He's like
the Australian,
yeah. There's a thousand blossoms bloom, but I ain't gonna give two ticks against, until people are stopped being eaten by alligators.
Or rabbits. Jason Pratt emails in. Listening to the most recent episode, Luke mentioned the fan from Huddersfield calling the ref's assistant a London lefty. A few years ago at Middlesbrough FA Cup game v Spurs, a call went Spurs' way and the guy sat a few rows ahead of me took offence. It was nearly half time. He stood up and went to leave his seat shouting, "Oh, fuck off, ref. Bet you went to grammar school too, you twat," and stormed out. He looked around, presumably pretty pleased with himself, and went to get a pie. Certainly one of the nicer and more inventive digs I've heard at a game.
Oh, enjoy that with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. Pie and chips.
What's he trying to say there? He's like a nerd. Is he calling him a nerd?
That he's posh, like,
yeah,
privileged.
Posh, yeah.
I thought grammar school was free and select. Like, you just had to, you know, pass the 11 plus.
Oh, you're out of your comfort zone here.
Yeah,
state school system. Oh, damn.
Yeah, don't you have to only have to pay a little bit for that?
Which is a pint of student these days. We got an email from Tom Green. We got a message on Twitter, actually. A friend of mine is in a fantasy football league that plays its games head to head. There is, get this, £400 up for grabs for top spot. Now, this is going to enrage, excite, and delight in equal measure, in my humble opinion. This weekend, one of the participants who has no chance of winning this season matched up against his dad's team, who is 6 points off the top spot. The son decided to make 5 changes to his team, adding in Ozil, Van Dijk, Anderson, Jimenez, and Torreira, ensuring his dad gets the win. Needless to say, this has not gone down well in the WhatsApp group for the league. I've been assured that neither father nor son work or have worked for FIFA.
That's a disgrace.
It's amazing.
That's a disgrace.
It's a great bit of work. Look, Moneyball. Marginal gains. Getting your son on board.
No, that's corruption. That's
I want to know how
corruption.
Much money the son is getting in this deal. There must be a financial agreement here. Tom then followed up with a tweet. Just an update. They've both been kicked out of the WhatsApp group pending a meeting with the other members of the league tonight. They could probably do with some help deciding what the punishment should be.
That is it. You don't seem outraged enough, Fish.
No,
I am absolutely outraged.
Chop off their fingers.
No, the ultimate FPL punishment would be that if they are found guilty of this terrible thing that they've done,
banned from football for 2 seasons.
No, they have to play FPL next season as well. I don't know how people get joy from it, but
no,
I only know pain.
Yeah, so. I don't know how Jules, and I'm fairly certain this is still the case. She's on top of the Ramble League. She's on top of a lot of leagues. It's very upsetting how good she is and how devoted she is to it.
It's part of her job, though, isn't
it? Yeah, she
works
in the
only way that it was
kind of trading.
Yeah, come on. But there's still a science that, like,
but she has to do it to go to work, right?
Right.
Like Fish is saying, that's the only way it could be, like, at all useful or fun.
But how can you learn something? I said to my driving instructor, how can you learn something? How does it get and remain in your head? That's what
I just think the whole secret of, obviously you're not going to win the entire thing by just it, but people have to just remember to do it every
I remembered this season to do it and I was terrible at it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Awful. terrible game. Yeah, showfootballrom.com. right, stuff for this. Ooh, baby. Don't know where that is.
I prefer to kill him.
Oh, it's time for a portmanteau, Conte. Two footballers, you got to figure out how they've been mashed together, in what configuration, and yes, let's see if you can do as well as I think Marcus and Vish last week. Mm. Marcus got one, Vish got one.
They were weirdly easy.
Weirdly easy. Was it easy when we said the names, right?
Gavin McHugh's come in with this particular clue. Thank you, Gavin McHugh. Dear Football Ramble Gang, see below some pop Antonio Conte's in case Pete is running out. Nobody has access
running
to
out.
The Football Ramble account, so feel free to email your clues in.
Have you locked it?
I've locked everyone out, apart from me. Right, are you guys ready? You team ready?
Are we a gang?
Gang. I went for gang there. I said, guys, and I thought, where's my play button? There we go. We are both World Cup winners. I scored 4 goals in the 2018 World Cup, and I kept 4 clean sheets in the 2014 World Cup. Both World Cup winners. 4 goals in the 2018 World Cup.
World Cup
4
winners.
4 clean sheets, 2014.
Okay.
Oh
my god, it's so quick.
Oh no.
Antoine Griezmann, Manuel Neuer. Baby, it was on the tip of your tongue. Guess it's just staring into the middle distance.
No, I had Neuer.
Yeah. That's annoying.
I was working that way. I was like, man.
You have the choice to kind of offer up one of the names and see if someone else...
Let's do this one.
No, you don't have to do that. Because that mugs you off. Because Vish might have the other half.
We're a team or not?
Yeah, good point.
We're a team.
You're not a team. You're fighting against each other.
Yeah,
but right, so we're not a team. But it might help anyway.
It might help jog the old brain cells. Anyway, here's your second one. This also comes from Gavin McHugh. Thank you, Gavin. I moved to Man United last summer after winning the league with Porto, and I scored 50 goals in 84 appearances as part of Kevin Keegan's Entertainers.
Do that again.
Man United last summer, winning the league with Porto. 50 goals in 84 appearances under Keggy.
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
Fuck it out.
We're bad at this, huh?
Yeah.
Winning the...
The answer is... Alex Teles Ferdinand.
No!
Oh,
yes,
my
please.
God.
That's grim.
Nice. It's grim. As oh, my God, it's grim. Sorry.
What have we
this
done?
Has been a really
sorry,
depressing
team.
Show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was fun when you were depressed, but now I'm depressed.
I enjoyed doing the little drums.
How did you not get Alex Telles? I was off on some sort of Bruno Fernandes.
I was trying to work. Hole. I was trying to work the other way.
Yeah.
I should have said Telles out loud, but.
Oh right, thanks. Such a little scam merchant.
Scam merchant.
Have you seen he's massively mugged me off as well with his choice of greatest game ever?
Oh right. No, that was.
I just loved it so much.
Today.
If that's your impersonation of me, that is extremely insulting. I have a low.
Scott Kane.
We're from, what was it? We're from something Wood.
Yeah, where was
and
it?
And they all
somewhere
just
in
look incredibly embarrassed, everyone else, don't
no,
they?
No, I think that no, one's really into it and the rest are a little
it's
bit.
The arms.
I like it.
He looks like, what's the guy with the like Mr. Elastic?
Andrew Marr.
Who's Mr. Elastic? Andrew Marr.
one of the Mr. Men.
Okay, Mr. Elastic.
Yeah.
Mr. Tickle.
Mr. Tickle. We don't talk about him anymore.
Mr. Elastic.
These things he did in the 80s.
All right.
You're thinking of Stretch Armstrong and Mr. Tickle.
Yeah.
And the one that gets flattened when the pinboard falls on him and when
that's
he's
Flat
asleep.
Stanley.
That's Andy Gray.
Confusing.
You're still on Portmanteau Conte. Yeah. We have significantly failed to... Oh, God. Anyway, something else that's failed is Daniel Ek. He's not going to buy Arsenal. The Cronkies say they don't care and they've got loads of money. Basically.
Yeah, they literally reply saying that they don't need the money. Well, I understand that. I understand that's how businessmen operate. But yeah, I mean, would you like some more money?
Daniel Ek says, I remain interested and available should that situation ever change.
Mm.
Why would that situation change? Because we know that thing about how everyone, all the billionaires have got richer and everyone else has got poorer. So...
I like how easy that easy PR it is. Just send an email. Do you want to buy? Can I buy this? No. Okay.
Oh, they turned me down. They turned me down.
The whole thing was like, oh, Cherry on Me is involved and all that stuff. Do you think that all is all it was like Spotify needed a bit of free advertising, and so old Mr. Eck was
hard to tell. But but they're obviously not into selling at any price.
Yeah, and it's worth looking at the information that they put across. They obviously didn't say how much necessarily they bid, because obviously if it's not in keeping with how they value it, then obviously they would turn it down. Mm. You don't just like sell your house because someone makes an offer on it. It's not like, quite as straightforward.
Right, yeah.
But also...
I make some calls, guys.
But they, even mentioning like fan representation and their chat about like a golden chair. They're just like putting it out there to curry favour and, I suppose, ramp up a few more protests to help them.
Oh, right. You think that could just...
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty transparent really, isn't it?
Yeah. But also, if the things are good, they're still good things.
Yeah.
But
it's also just like, just do it. Just like work away at it.
Just spend more money is what Vish is saying.
Not saying spend more money,
put more money into Arsenal. That's where they've been going wrong.
Sign Harry Kane. We've all seen the little Harry Kane in the little red Arsenal shirt. Bring him home. That's what I'm saying. He's one of their own.
Mm.
He's Harry Kane. He's one of their own.
Clock end Kane, they call him.
Smash that button. I'm going to... Anyway, yeah.
Highbury Kane.
Highbury Kane's a great name, yeah, to be fair.
He wants to win things. What part of that did you not pick up on?
Last year, they did, didn't they? I am quite emotional on your behalf, but it's also a little bit funny.
Let's have a nice sad, but also football coming together to do something lovely. Mm. The former QPR youth player Kyan Prince has been added to FIFA 21 to mark the 15th anniversary of his death. He was stabbed to death at 15 trying to break up a fight at school, and he's been added into the FIFA game like as a kind of grown-up version of himself, right?
Mm. Yeah, as a 30-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, and so the idea is that you can include him in your team and people can, I guess, keep him alive in the minds of people who play this massive, massive game.
Yeah, yeah. So QPR are also putting him in their real squad as well. So they're giving him the number 30 shirt. And I think Match Attacks the trading cards. Lucky they've got one of them for that as well. And I spoke to a few people involved last week, and it's basically about carrying his message forward to I suppose the 15-year-olds of today, not just the QPR, but around the clubs as well. And it's pretty cool. I spoke to his dad, Dr. Mark Prince, and one of the things he said was that, he was talking about how much he enjoyed watching his son play football and how he felt like he took it for granted. And he said this is a great way of, I suppose, just carrying on his legacy and through FIFA, as you said, Kate, like spreading his message. The other really cool thing about it is that through all these chats I had last week, you really got the sense that as a 15-year-old, he was very mature beyond his years. And I suppose, like, Kyan, the person, resonated with me when I heard a story that when they were discussing the project in EA Sports, one of the developers overheard his name, recognised his name, and it turned out he went to school with Kyan as well and had all these things to say about what he was as a person, about him being a gentle giant, and also that he was this, footballer destined for great things. So it's a pretty cool thing. And I suppose with modern technology, Pete, you'll know a bit about this, this kind of thing is possible because I suppose it's shouldering the responsibility of his message and also a little bit of the grief as well.
Yeah, I think QPR have done some wonderful things in the past few years for their community. Obviously, the stadium's named after Kyan, it's a beautiful tribute to a player who has lost obviously way too soon, and it's actually quite heartbreaking to sort of know. Well, I mean, that was 15 years ago; he would have been 30. Like that kind of hits home. For me, and all credit to EA and Match Attacks and all the people involved, not just as a service to the community of football and young kids who are playing FIFA right now, it's a real service to their family as well. I mean, I cannot imagine the cycle of despair, acceptance, frustration, anger, just bare anger. I mean, you obviously spoke to him for the piece you wrote for The Independent, and that's well worth a look. I like the fact that his dad was saying, they need to put more muscles on my boy.
Yeah.
he's not muscular enough. he had traps, he had abs, give him muscles.
Oh, bless him. Yeah, and some friends of his getting, I suppose as well, friends of his getting the chance to talk about him, like you're saying, in the case of one of the guys working
and,
on it.
And it's a necessary message at a time where, you know, you're just seeing so much stuff in London and beyond when it comes to knife crime, and this does speak to a generation that we're obviously not necessarily a party to, and hopefully it'll change some small minds, I suppose.
Yeah, a beautiful thing, really. Great to talk about it. Coming up tonight then, lots more Premier League football for everybody. There wasn't any last night, but it's back again. Manchester United play Fulham, Southampton up against Leeds, Brighton, Man City, and then a replay of the FA Cup final, Chelsea versus Leicester.
It's so weird to have two games so close together and you can't really split which is the more important game. You'd think the FA Cup final would take it, but obviously the Champions League element of this is huge.
Really. A lot of Leicester fans online saying that, well, I don't know if that was retrospectively or beforehand, saying the FA Cup was the thing they wanted. So,
oh, no doubt. But I suppose even from our neutral point of view, you're like, God, there is still so much riding on it. You kind of assume that because so much of the top and bottom has been sorted that, like, we're just coasting to the finale on the weekend. But
one last push, Leicester, come on. She's crowning.
Neutral's perspective. Yeah,
we've never been neutral on this show.
Well, no,
just 20 minutes on Kane leaving.
Well, Spurs are still.
Spurs are not in it.
We're still in it a little bit.
If you do well, you get to be a part of the, what is this, the Europa Conference?
That's the biggest load of shit ever.
Oh, come on. You Slutsky dancing. Come on.
We've got an extra, but we got a space in it. So actually, if you're down to seventh in the Premier League, you'll get to be.
I mean, you'd
it.
Be too embarrassed to show up, wouldn't you?
You've got to show up, haven't you?
It might be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
What's going to be a lot of fun?
The conference. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And what are you looking forward to about the conference?
Leland Slutsky being involved, all right, and doing his little dance.
Yeah, but he could just have his own.
He could do that anyway. He doesn't need. I reckon. Yeah, even he wouldn't turn up to. If Spurs end up in the Europa Conference League, they've got to walk in there and really be as brazen and as dickish as possible. This is so beneath us.
Yeah,
we hate being here. This is a nuisance. Can't accept that kind of status.
Well, hopefully West Ham will do the job and earn the glories of European football instead. I mean, presumably Spurs are hoping to finish above. Anyway, I can't believe the show has turned into this. This is so annoying. You are a
play again.
Good friends. You are my good friends. Don't press that button. I think we might just get out of here at this point. You're coming back tomorrow.
I am.
And Vish, you are as well.
Yeah,
can you lay into Fulham or something?
Mark? Yeah, because they've had it easy, haven't they? It's about time someone took them to task. Yeah,
Marcus is the man in the hot seat tomorrow. We will see you then. Bye, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.